Yo, what up, guys? Chris Chin here. Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Coming to you after the trade deadline has officially passed. Warriors make a couple of moves, you already know, but essentially Kuminga, Buddy Hield for Porzingis, and then shipping out TJD. A lot to unpack. Was very uncertain when I first saw the move. Thought that there would probably be subsequent moves made because it just came out of nowhere. We just, for all the speculation we've done for the last however many months and years, just never would have called this one at that point. And wanted to wait to see what other moves could and would be made, but that is it. That's all we're getting. A bit deflating, I must say. You have hopes that obviously you go get Giannis or make a big move. Like a Jaren Jackson Jr. was apparently on the table at one point. You hope for just anything that says, hey, we want to reopen this title window. We might even compete this year, but at least we want to reopen that window for next year and compete. And for all we've talked about, give up some picks and improve your roster now. But that move was not to be made. Instead, I don't even know what to call this move. I mean, maybe just getting a couple cents on the dollar here. You know, Kuminga's going out, and it sounds like that situation just wasn't going to resolve. You could have held on to him and let him develop and play and wait till the offseason, but sounds like the Warriors decided to just get off that contract, get the expiring contract of Porzingis, and hope that he's healthy. Hope that he's the perfect fit, which he is a very good fit when healthy and when Jimmy Butler's healthy. We're going to talk about that. But essentially, I want to talk about the front office's failures over the last few years to put a competitive team around a very open window with Steph Curry playing the way he's still playing. I have bones to pick about them misreading the Giannis situation for the last five, seven, however many years it's been. He finally becomes available and you can't procure him. You pass up on however many opportunities to chase other players that could help you. Jaren Jackson Jr. being the latest. Going back to, you know, the days of, you know, you could have got Caruso for Kuminga. You could have made a play at Siakam. I mean, the list goes on in terms of players you could have tried to acquire. And instead, you hoarded all these picks for a moment like this and you whiffed. It's just not only a failure to get Giannis. I mean, to be fair, you threw your hat in the ring. You had a chance. You might have even had the best offer. Bucks obviously didn't think it was good enough, but the Warriors might have had the best offer. And I guess that's all you can do within your control. But at the end of the day, a failure to get Giannis and thus an official failure to the two timeline attempt, whatever you want to call that, because now you have officially moved on from Kuminga. You've moved on from your youth. Dating back to, let's see, what year was it? You had your big three. You had Andrew Wiggins. You had the number two pick, who at that point, you already probably had Wiseman drafted, but you had the number two pick. You had the number seven pick, which turned into Kuminga. You had Jordan Poole still on the roster. You had the number 14 pick incoming, which would be Moses Moody. You had every opportunity to maybe hold on to the picks and draft players that are ready to contribute now rather than all raw projects or one and done deals like Moody, who was the most developed out of all of them at that point with 1 year of college, or more so trading off those picks and going to go get yourself a veteran who could help you continue your window. And chances are, you know, with all that capital, you could have gotten, you know, several depth pieces, and you probably would have a fifth championship at this point, or a very, very deep run beyond what that outlier of 2022 was. It's just a consistent whiffing on young players, then continuing to overvalue them and hold on to them. And again, not moving them early enough. You're not trading them for useful vets. And when you do, it's for basically nothing. You know, Wiseman for Gary Payton II was just like a mulligan, and you basically threw out your number two pick. It's that combined with terrible development, you know, between that's the whole organization, coaching staff included. And it's just a disconnect between the front office saying we want to draft young players that need development, and a coaching staff that says we want to play players to win now, and we're competitive, and we have Steph Curry, and we're not going to give development minutes to these players. Could you have given some more minutes to Kuminga, Moody in the beginning, you know, guys like that? Yeah, of course you could have. But it's just the inconsistency, and it's just being divided and just not being on the same page that, you know, do one or the other, draft all young and then develop them, or trade the picks for veterans and play them. You can't do a little bit of both. You can't have one foot in the door for now and one foot out the door for the next timeline. It just doesn't work that way. And thus you get these raw projects who don't get the experience, the coaching, with the development that they need. And this is what happens. And I guess that's my mini worded version of a farewell to Jonathan Kuminga, who clearly flashed at times, flashed in the playoffs, flashed as an elite athlete and a 20 plus point scorer. And at some point or another, each and every one of us in Dumb Nation thought that that kid could be a star at some point. Some of us still do. I fall on the line that I think he's going to be a consistent starting player in the league for, you know, several years, if not more, with the potential to eventually be an all-star. I mean, maybe he doesn't develop past that, but given the minutes, I mean, we talked about last episode, his per 36 minutes are pretty good. You know, it's like 22 points on 7 rebounds and 3 assists per 36 minutes. And, you know, those raw numbers just alone, and, you know, given the fact that he could be a better defender, sucks to get rid of him. And I understand why the Warriors felt like at this point they just had to, but it should just never have gotten to that point at all to begin with. So I wish you luck, JK. And I also just, we've talked so much Kuminga, and it's nothing personal, but I'm just ready to not talk about Kuminga for a while. Also, farewell, Buddy Hield, Game 7, buddy. We appreciate what you did to get us out of that Rockets series. And poor Jimmy Butler, because he just lost his number one and number two lads on the team in Buddy Hield and Kuminga, and great locker room presences. So we bid you adieu. And TJD, good luck in Toronto and enjoy Canada. Looking back, right? We turned the number two pick, the number seven pick, and Jordan Poole into Gary Payton II, Porzingis on an expiring contract, and Chris Paul, who we eventually dropped the next year and didn't use the salary slot. That was honestly one of the biggest things that irked me the most. It's like, you just got off Poole, great. I'm fine with that. You got CP3. Let's kind of see what you can do with him. You know, it's kind of bonus just to get off the contract, and you have a year to steady the bench with him. And if it doesn't work, then you trade him and you get off his $30 million salary, and you go bring in another player and attach a pick to that, and you can get yourself a pretty good player. And it's the same situation that the Warriors have found themselves in with Kuminga, and or found themselves in now, because this is exactly what it is. It is a salary dump, and you're trading Kuminga's salary for Porzingis's, about a $30 million salary. And now you get to kind of see what you have with Porzingis for half a year, or who knows how many games that even is with Porzingis. We're going to talk about his illness and injury history in just a second. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with it. You can try to re-sign him, or you can just get off the salary slot, and we'll talk about that in a bit, but kind of seems familiar. Hopefully the Warriors aren't just wasting basically Kuminga and his salary for nothing at all. All right, so those are my frustrations. I'm sure there's much more to complain about, but I'm going to leave it there. I want this to be an optimistic pivot here, because there are some silver linings. There are some things to be hopeful for. So I'm going to take that approach, guys. You can hate me if you'd rather me just cuss out the Warriors in the front office. Trust me, I've been doing plenty of that on my own time. But let's look at, I guess, why the Warriors actually chose to do this deal and what it means going forward from an optimistic best case scenario. Before we do that, let's talk about Porzingis because the two, I guess the thing that matters most is his availability. So obviously he has a checkered injury history, has missed 20, 30 games in almost every season he's played, except for like maybe his rookie season in general. The thing in his life that's really crept up on him the most is this POTS syndrome. I forget what it stands for, but essentially it's like a neuroimmune disorder, something like that, where it kind of comes and goes, and there's times where he'll stand up and immediately just like basically faint, and his like blood pressure goes way up, heart goes way up, just nasty fatigue, just debilitating, and just yeah, is nothing that anyone wants in their life, let alone as a professional athlete. That being said, I did a deep dive on kind of his injury, on his illness history. So obviously dealt with this all last year, including in the playoffs. A lot of the treatment you can get from the doctors would say to treat this, you need to increase your salt intake and then obviously coordinate your rest. But I guess a higher sodium diet is really supposed to help with this. And it seems like he has taken a turn for the better. He played internationally for Latvia 6 games over the summer, did very well, was optimistic coming into this season, and even played, I think, like 8 or 9 games out of like 10 games, because there was a back to back in the first like month and a half of the season. And then he has a bunch of missing games. It was a combination. I think he had like a small injury, but then in December he had an illness, but it was not POTS related, according to him. He said, as far as POTS is concerned, I did not have any issues with that. It was just kind of like being, like he said, under the weather, whatever that means. But I mean, maybe he just caught that nasty flu that a bunch of us caught in December, including myself. Maybe just, his immune system's clearly not 100%. So maybe it was just kind of like a random illness. Obviously kept him out longer than it kept mo keeps most people out, but missed a bunch of games there. Made his way back kind of towards the end of December, early January, and then he had Achilles tendonitis and missed the last like 2.5 weeks. So silver linings on that are that in theory, his POTS syndrome is improving, and they're hopeful that he's kind of put the worst behind him. And now that it's been, past a year or so of dealing and managing it, maybe that's getting better where he's not going to play every game. There will be flare-ups, but he seems to be in better health as far as his illness. The injuries are always going to be there. He's a big body of a unicorn, is his nickname, because you just aren't that big and move the way he does in general. And the Achilles tendonitis is very worrisome. But it sounds like he was cleared and going to play as of Tuesday before he was benched with what they scratched with what they called illness, but it was in reality, it's just because he was going to get traded the next day to the Warriors. So they just didn't want to risk him, re-aggravating anything. So it sounds like he's ready to go. There's a chance he plays maybe Saturday, but it's probably going to be the next game, whatever that is. And reports are that the Warriors expect him to be ready to play in the near future. For how long he plays, nobody knows, but you're going to get a look at him. And yeah, that being said, the availability is the main thing here, because if he is healthy, Porzingis is a good player. He's only 30 years old. Seems like he's been here a lot longer, has some mileage on his body, but he's a championship player with the Celtics, won a championship, and I think made it to another, and made it to another one against us. Let's see. Let's look at, before we look at on the court, I want to look at the financial ramifications here. So he's on an expiring $30 million deal, which we talked about, gives you cap flexibility into the offseason. You have his bird rights. What it means is that you can cut him, and with that being off the books, the Warriors would be under the first apron and thus able to use your non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $15 million next year, and that's probably going to hopefully get you to keep De'Anthony Melton or go get someone else. But I would have to think the goal here is to get Melton to stay with you, assuming he's healthy and happy to be here. So essentially, you got rid of Kuminga to keep Melton in that situation. potentially even better is Porzingis, he flashes a little bit this year, but not enough to where he's going to go off and look for a big contract. Good chance that he's just brought back on a prove it 1 year deal where maybe, you're talking less than $10 million. I think the Warriors have about like $10 million between Porzingis and maybe re-signing Quinton Post. Between that, you have enough to stay under that first apron and re-sign Melton. Other options, if you end up getting into the taxpayer mid-level and you can't keep Melton, well, maybe Porzingis becomes that $7-8 million mid-level taxpayer exception. So potentially ways to bring Porzingis back on a cheap-ish contract and see what this really looks like with a true two-way center who can shoot and protect the rim. Something that the Warriors have literally been wanting for the longest time. They've wanted Porzingis specifically for a few years. And I don't know. I mean, literally, I think last summer we actually did mention when the Warriors were looking for bigs in the offseason that, hey, if you can sign and trade Kuminga for Porzingis, then I would be all for it. But the salaries didn't match and just the values didn't match at that point. But if we had known that Jimmy Butler, if we had thought Jimmy Butler would be healthy, Porzingis would have been a great addition. And that's including if Kuminga was going to be good. I think Porzingis is a much cleaner fit. Let's Draymond play the four, let's Jimmy play the three, and you don't have as bad of spacing issues because your center can shoot the hell out of the ball. Also, from a financial standpoint, Warriors get a $9 million traded player exception here for sending off Kuminga. I forgot exactly how it works, but you do have a $9 million exception. You had about that with the Kyle Anderson trade and the Jimmy Butler trade, but they opted not to use that. Essentially, what that means is, say, at any point, but we'll call it the offseason, you want to just get a $9 million player from another team. You can say, hey, I'll trade you my second round pick. You don't attach any of your own players, and you get that $9 million player back. You don't have to match salaries there, but you can't combine that in contracts there. You can't aggregate it. So anyway, that's just a little tool that they probably won't use, but they have it available. Okay, let's see. I'm still on silver linings and trying to be optimistic, right? So think about Jimmy Butler, Porzingis, and they're healthy. You got Steph Curry, say DeAnthony Melton's at that two spot. You bring him back. This is for next year, potentially, if all works out, and would have been for this year. But for next year, so you have Curry, Melton at the two, Jimmy at the three, Dre at the four, Porzingis at the five. That's a good five right there. Enough spacing. Everyone can play some defense, and you have enough, play initiators and ball handlers. And then you have a pretty good bench. So you have Pods as kind of your backup combo guard. And then on the wings, you have Moody and Richard. And then as bigs, you have Horford and probably Post if you bring him back. Not a bad start. Not a championship team, but that's a competitive team. And I would think that if healthy and if everyone's playing, maybe a top four or five team in the West. Hopefully, we get to see if that comes true. On the defensive side of the ball, Porzingis. While he's not the most fleet of foot and in terms of staying in front of perimeter guards and getting switched there, he's mainly going to be in a drop coverage anyways, and it's not something that the Warriors typically play. But in this scenario with him, they're going to have to figure out how to play with him in a drop. They've kind of done that a little bit with Al Horford as well. And aside from being a little slow laterally, he finally gives you true rim protection. I mean, he's kind of like a close to a two block guy per game in his heyday, maybe like 1 point, 1.5-ish nowadays, and that's in kind of limited minutes. Pretty good timing defensively, and just 7'2" with a 7'6" wingspan. Just some size finally that the Warriors have been needing in the worst way. Not the greatest rebounder at his size, but he'll box out. And obviously, at that size, and if everyone else is boxing you out, he grabs like six rebounds, maybe seven rebounds a game. So leaves a little bit to be desired, but helps you there as well. Allows Draymond Green to do what he does best, and that's roam on defense, be switchable, go attack guys on the wing, and then you have Draymond roaming, and you have Porzingis anchoring behind him, and that is a very good defensive combination. Think like early when in the Warriors dynasty with Andrew Bogut. Draymond Green and then Andrew Bogut behind him, and that was a very, very good defense. Typically a top two or three defense in the NBA for, the early parts of that dynasty. And having a guy like Bogut, potentially a guy like Porzingis, kind of anchoring the rim and protecting the hoop behind Draymond just is lets Draymond do what he does best, and it keeps some wear and tear off of Draymond against big bodies. You're no longer getting pushed around. I mean, Porzingis isn't the strongest guy, but at that size, you're not getting pushed around by your Valanciunases and your Nikola or your Zubats of the world. So, gives you some much needed size. Offensively, well, actually, before offensively, we named him Horford. Familiarity with Horford, and we'll see if we're gonna bring back Horford next year. But the fact that those two can play together and play as a four and a five on the court together in Boston, we saw that it works. You got two spacing bigs, you got some size, they both defend. I would love to see how that works when Draymond's out and you play those two next to each other. So a lot of familiarity with Horford is a plus. Offensively, I mean, clearest way to say it is Porzingis is a sniper. He's a 7-foot-2 sniper, can shoot the lights out, can shoot from the mid-range, can shoot from well beyond the three-point arc. He gives you very, very good spacing. He lets you play five out lineups. Now think about Steph with, Melton or Seth Curry or whoever you want to put it at the two. You have, Moody on that three, and then you're playing like Horford and Porzingis there. You have 5 3-point shooters. You can play five out. The few times we see the Warriors play five out, Steph Curry murders. He has space to work. He is at the hoop every time, or somebody's getting a wide open three. It is as nasty as can be, and it sucks that we really haven't gotten to see it too much because of the lack of spacing. But this is why the Warriors have been craving for a true stretch five, a two-way stretch five for the longest time, to see what a lineup with five out can do. On top of that, also gives a great pick and pop partner to Steph. I mean, you see all the shots that Quinton Post gets for, setting kind of half-ass screens and, all the three-pointers you could possibly eat for Post. Now that's Porzingis shooting at like a 40% clip from three. Can pick and pop in that mid-range as well. You don't see Post kind of drift into the mid-range. He's just not comfortable there. Well, now you have that option with Porzingis where he's just deadly from the mid-range. Gives you just a ton of options offensively with Porzingis in that lineup. Can also be a lob threat. He's big enough where, he can roll the hoop, kind of cut baseline, just a big body where you can lob it up and you finally have some vertical spacing as well. We're going to see how good his vision and passing is. He's never really been that much more of like of a more than a two assist per game type of guy. But I could see them, particularly especially without Jimmy Butler for a bit, kind of running some inside out through him because he's very efficient from that short mid-range, even from that baseline right there. Can you give it to him in the posts where he can face up and shoot? And then I want to see in that same breath, can he be that post passer and split action that the Warriors love to run? Are you going to just line him up on the far side, or are you going to give him the ball in the post where he can, again, either face up or read that split action and make the right pass? And if he can do that, now you're going to be able to kind of simulate that Jimmy Butler offense of that inside out and really space the floor in multiple different directions. I guess I'm going to leave it there. We're going to leave on a high note. And again, this all comes down to if he can stay healthy and everyone else can stay healthy. But, at this point, technically, he's supposed to be healthy and, get him with Celebrini. Let's get him to play at least, two-thirds of the games for the rest of the season. See what we got. Maybe make a little run into the playoffs and just, hey, what actually does Steve Kerr want to do with a true center now? And what does it look like playing Dre at the four all the time? You're still very, very weak at the on the wing, and that's a huge problem that they'll have to address in the offseason. But hey, they have all their picks still. You'll get another 2033 pick able to move as the offseason hits. And it's a deep draft this year, 2026. We have our pick. If somehow you don't make it out of the play-in or you have a pick kind of mid-late lottery, It's a pretty deep draft that you could get some impact player or use that to trade away. But the Warriors don't trade picks, apparently. Anyways, I guess I say all that to say is it's deflating not to get Giannis, but it's not the end of the world. There are still rays of hope that we can put forward because the window is next year. This year's window is out. Next year is the window we go for broke, and we'll see what the Warriors do at that point. Hey, maybe we circle back on Giannis. I almost prefer that we don't. All right. Enjoy the second half, guys. Enjoy some Porzingis. We need some good in our lives. So hopefully, Steph's back soon and we get to see it all. All right, guys, hang in there. If you've made it this far, you're a true Warriors fan. True Warriors fans, give Stack and Dubs a subscribe. All right, I'll talk to you next time. Peace, love, and Stack and Dubs.